Chapter 1. Into the Light. They said giant worms roamed in the black, but Drake had never seen a single slider. All the same, he didn't want to leave the dome. Who knew if the Leviathan still existed? It had been 10 years since anyone ventured beyond the electric fences. But that last tremor had caused a cave-in at the inside entrance to the dam, and Drake was the only one who could repair the generators.
Not good. Not good at all.
He walked a deserted street near the safe zone's northern end, alone except for Doug, a blackish-brown, curly-haired Airedale terrier, always ready for a trek near the outer reaches. He wore a loaded backpack and toted a Grands Force Brooks wildlife hatchet. A Bursa Thunder 380 peeked from a right-hand shoulder holster beneath his jacket. The blowback-operated semi-automatic remained a reserve piece, unrevealed to everyone, including Chief Copper, the dome's security leader. Back in the day, Drake's high school teachers had urged him to reach for the sky. After graduation, his parents had pushed him to secure a paycheck and a wife. When the apocalypse happened, Drake had settled for survival. In the years that had accumulated since the curse, his life had changed from that of a pleasurably married electrical field service engineer at Morris Aerotech in Charlotte, North Carolina, to that of a widower street junkie in the near-empty alleyways of northern Florida, one of the last continental zones to succumb to the spreading perpetual darkness. The fading grew stronger with each passing day, and no one new ever showed up at the sanctuary. Of the original builders, all but Copper, Naomi, and two of the planners had vanished. Most of the other inhabitants were aging away, maybe too old to fade. Who can say? Even before Drake's arrival, many of the homes had gone haunted. Vines, grasses, weeds, and untrimmed trees consumed the neighboring houses, sidewalks, and even the blacktop streets.
Amazing how quick it grows.
Drake clicked his tongue and chuckled at Doug.
Not something that matters to you, is it, boy?
Crisp vegetation should have cheered the air, but even fresh vegetation reeked of rot. Not from the current lack of recycling associated with the conked-out generators, but from something that smelled like the black. Each day, without the power, the shadows inside the dome stretched longer and darker.
How hard can it get?
That was his thinking when it all started. But in no short time, he'd realized dumpster diving, although similar in theory to searching the internet for ideas, was not even remotely the same in practice.
That was my Leah time, but that's gone. Stop thinking about her.
Talking to himself helped ease the quivers that seemed a constant churning in his gut. After she'd faded, he remained alone even when among other survivors. It was self-punishment loneliness, the kind that reshapes a man's mind by cutting out trenches of social isolation, making it ever more difficult to penetrate the self-imposed walls. If not for coming upon Doug, he might have given up, but he'd survived, enduring the black, the murmurings, and the odors, until time passed, and he once more missed laughter, conversation, and even cigarette smokers. About 12 years ago, he'd stumbled upon the dome and a survivor colony willing to embrace a ragged junkie with nervous hands, faulty memories, and near-forgotten but usable skills in electrical equipment repairs. For Drake, it was life in the light versus a shadowed existence in the humid heat that continued to accumulate on this cloud-cloaked blackness called Earth. These days, he felt normal, or at least subjectively normal to the current environment. He'd gained confidence among other people and actually become a valued member of the society. Sometimes, after a dinner with Naomi and Copper, he could go days without recalling the lost comfort of drifting to sleep with Leah's left leg across his thigh and her breath softly touching the back of his neck.